Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody, and He loves you.
Thank you for tuning in to Pastor's Aid CDC. This is yours truly, Pastor C, studio in Forestville, Maryland. I want to wish everyone a happy Friday, TGIF. Thank God it's Friday. Appreciate everyone tuning in tonight. I know it's been a long week for a lot of us, but we thank God we have made it through. Ready to start a weekend here and Metro DC metropolitan area. It's going to be a little cool this weekend. Looking forward to some snow possibly going into next weekend, probably next Wednesday. But everything is just like wintertime should be. And we're looking forward to getting through these last few weeks and making it to the beginning of spring. But until then, we got to grind it out. But we are grateful for everyone who continues to tune in and support us here at Pastor's Aid CDC. Truly, it's been a blessing since we've been on the air, since in April. Coming into April, we'll celebrate our 1 year being on the air, and we just are thankful for everyone who has continued to support us. It's just amazing the amount of people who have continued to support us, who have gone back through the archives and listened to all of our shows, and those who have contacted us, and it's just a blessing to be able to play a difference, make a difference in the life and the wellness of our community, just by connecting people with resources for the wellness of our community. And we're just awesomely blessed, and we thank everyone for their continued support here at Pastor's Aid CDC. We got another a good topic tonight. We're going to be talking about can we embrace all change? Can we embrace all change? And if you want to be a part of that conversation tonight, we invite you to call in at 347-324-5569. That's 347-324-5569 if you want to be a part of that conversation. And as always, if you want to communicate with us through social media, you can get us at PACDC316 on Twitter. And Pastor's Aid, it's PASTORSAID, and we'll be glad to communicate with you during or after the broadcast. So hit us up either way. We appreciate it, and we're going to continue to just touch on some things that, you know, people need to talk about. People need to dialogue about a lot of times. Change is something that is difficult for people, and if you can get a good conversation, a good dialogue it becomes a resource that you can pull from in that dialogue that could possibly help you or help us work through some areas that are challenging in our life. And change is difficult for all of us because we are creatures of comfort. Creatures of comfort, we like things to be done a certain way, and we like for things to be done at a certain time, and we like to be comfortable on when and how they're going to be done. And that's just, you know, the makeup of the human race is that we're creatures of comfort. We like to have all of our comforts met. We like to have all of our needs met in a certain way. And not all the time is that going to happen. And, you know, we have to learn how to deal with change. But sometimes change can be embraced, but change isn't always something that you can embrace. Sometimes change is something you have to deal with. But then there's sometimes change we have to learn how to embrace. In other words, we have to learn how to embrace it by accepting it as something and embracing it as something that's not going to hurt our situation or hurt the situation or hurt us, but it's something that's going to move things in a positive direction. And so that's the difference between change that we can embrace and change that you have to deal with. Change that you can embrace is positive, is good for you. It'll move things in a positive direction. Might not always feel good initially, but it's something that you can embrace. Now, on the other hand, a change that you have to learn how to deal with is something that happens or something that occurs that it doesn't move things forward. It stagnates things. It gets to a point where it becomes more challenging to deal with it. But we have to learn how to deal with that type of change. And it's not always easy, but sometimes you have to deal with it until you can make another change that will make it better. So those are the things that we're going to be talking about tonight, because a lot of things are happening in this world, a lot of things happening in our neighborhoods, a lot of things that are happening in our communities, a lot of things that are happening on our jobs, a lot of things that are happening in our nation, in our halls of Congress, a lot of things are happening around the world. And change is inevitable. It's something that it happens. We can look in the mirror every day, and we can see that our physical bodies are changing day by day. Go back probably about 5-10 years and look at a photo of yourself from 10 years ago, and I know there's many of you who age gracefully, but if you go back about 10 years and look at a photo of yourself about 10 years ago, you can see that there has been the times of change that has occurred in your life, and your features and your body does not look as young as it did 10 years ago. Now, I'm sure there's exceptions to the rule concerning this, but for the majority of the human race, change has happened. Not all of it has been something that we embrace, but some of it is something that we can tolerate. But change is going to happen. And I was talking about the weather when we first started the broadcast tonight, that, you know, seasons always change. You know, we have four seasons that we talk about during the year, approximately lasting in about 3 months. And, you know, you start off with, you know, the winter in the beginning of the year, and that, you know, gives way to spring, and spring gives way to summer, and summer gives way to the fall, and then you start that cycle again. But there's always changing, and there's things that happen during the winter and that need to happen, the things that happen during the spring and the fall and so forth on the summer and the fall that have to happen. And you have to tolerate that type of season during that time, even though during the winter, you have cold, and you have temperatures that are not pleasant, and you have types of daylight variances where it seems like it's dark more often than daytime, and all of those things that you have to, those are changes from summer that you have to learn to tolerate in the wintertime. And we learn to deal with it, we learn to tolerate it, but we understand that that winter period will soon, if we hold on long enough, will give away to a springtime, a spring period where we can enjoy flowers and we can enjoy the different things that are coming back to life and blooming. Springtime is always refreshing, and summertime is hot. And a lot of times people take vacations and enjoy the weather outside, and then it gives way to fall, a time of cooling down and back to the winter. But all of those changes are necessary. All the things that happen during those changes are necessary for the well-being of our planet. And when we begin to understand that we can embrace that type of change because it's for the ecological cycle in our planet, for the goodness of our planet, for the goodness of the things that happen in our lives, it's something that we have to learn how to embrace, because the long run it's a part of the process that's good for our planet. And so, looking at it from a natural or nature standpoint of view, there's some things that we have to embrace because it's for the best. And you have to learn how to say, okay, this is changing. This is changing in my life. I might not like the 6 or 7 or 10 days of snow and bitter cold that happened in the wintertime, but I know that these things are necessary for the ecological process of plants and trees and things like that, having a cycle where they allow to go dormant and allow to recycle and regenerate. And that brings me the abundance of new life and new growth come spring and the summer. And so that whole thing is necessary. And so the number one thing that we have to understand about change that we can embrace is that many times it's necessary. Many times it's necessary. When you begin to start looking at change as that you can embrace as it is necessary, you begin to start not being as resistant or reluctant to change, because it's always going to happen, but whether it's a change that I can embrace because it's necessary, it's a change that I have to tolerate, is how I have to begin to start coming down on one side or another. And so if it's a change that is necessary, then what I have to do is I have to learn to accept it. I have to learn to get into a frame of mind that says, this is necessary. I might not like it, but it's necessary for the overall process or the overall situation, and I'm going to embrace it. And, when you first get into something that's changing, sometimes you have to pause and you have to go there. You have to go there saying, hey, this takes me out of my comfort zone. For instance, in the wintertime, you're a person that loves to wear shorts and flip-flops and T-shirts. When winter comes, that necessary change that you have to deal with in order to get to springtime is you have to put on at least sometimes some pants and some shoes and maybe a little bigger T-shirt or shirt to deal with that winter change in temperature until the springtime change comes. And so you have to embrace that, and you have to understand it's necessary, and you have to be willing to say, okay, I'm going to have to deal with changing this coat or putting on this coat or putting on this, shoes or whatever in order for me to deal with the change. And so that type of mindset that people need to have when change comes is looking at the big picture, looking at the overall what the end result will be, that it will be for the better. But it still doesn't make the person that likes wearing shorts and flip-flops and T-shirts happy that they had to put on the clothes. But that's something they can tolerate, that's something they can embrace, because they know the overall picture is for the good with the changing of the season. And so when we go into looking at certain things in our lives, for instance, certain policies and certain changes that may affect your job, for instance, when someone comes in and says that, you know, we have to start using, for instance, a biometric time clock. A biometric time clock actually scans your fingers or appendages to your digits on your finger, the pads of your finger, so that, you know, if you're scheduled to work a certain hours during the day, you can take your finger and you can put it on there, and it can document who you are. And so during certain times, you scan your finger, and it lets the computerized network know that you are the person that's scheduled. You did sign in, and then when it's time to take a break, you did take a break, and when it's time to sign out, that you can sign out. And, you know, people will say, well, you know, that's too much. We used to didn't have to sign in. We used to didn't have to. This is too much into my privacy. And you can say that change was something that I can embrace, or it's changed to something I have to deal with or tolerate. But the thing is to look at it from both standpoints of, you know, is this something I can embrace? Is it necessary? What's the big picture? And so a lot of times in corporate America, you have a handful of people that make it bad for the majority of the people, and people abuse time, abuse leave, abuse the system. And so what happens is a lot of times work doesn't get done, pay gets issued for work that doesn't get done, deadlines are not made. And so overall, a company that's running in corporate America, if you know, pay is being given for work that's not done, deadlines are not made, profits go down, and businesses go down. And so what happens is the process of people possibly getting incentive bonus and bonuses, companies doing better and being able to hire more folks, that process is slowed down. And so by installing a biometric time clock, for instance, would cause there to be a closer observance of time, of productivity, of possible increase in businesses, possible increase in revenues. And what happens when that happens, then people can start hiring. Bonuses can be incentive bonuses can be issued. People can get better benefits when you have a more productive company. And so, you know, in initial change from, you know, just showing up to now you have to scan your finger in a biometric clock, that initial change for a lot of people is difficult, because they say, you know, I've never had to sign. I never had to punch a time clock. I never had to have my fingerprint scanned. And, you know, that might be true, and you might be the one that comes to work every day, all the time, and, you know, there's not a problem. But there's a handful of people that's in that company that are abusing that, and now instead of you getting the, you know, $5,000 incentive bonus every year, now you're down to, you know, $2,500 because the company's not as productive as it could have been, because people are stealing time. People are not doing what they're supposed to be doing. People are not being responsible, those type of things take away from what the company's bottom line is, and then they cannot, you know, be more giving in, you know, benefits. And so when you look at it from that standpoint of view, you can see that that change is something that you can embrace, because at the end of the day, when the company becomes more productive, when they become more able to get better benefits, then you will receive more benefits, possible more revenue, possibly more people becoming part of the job, bringing in better talent, more talented people who are attracted to more efficient or more productive company. Then what that happens is everybody around that company, everybody around that organization begins to improve. And so that change that was made as far as being making people more accountable as far as their time and attendance, initially that is something that people resist in change, but in the process, the overall big process, people will understand that this is more beneficial to me, because it holds everyone to an account. And so now we're more productive, and in corporate America that is doing things in a way that I would say they should. Not to say that every organization is doing it the right way for the right reason, but if they're doing it in the right way for the right reasons, then everyone should be able to benefit, and you should be able to see that this change that has happened has been beneficial, and it's something that I can embrace, number one, because it's necessary for improvement in the overall bottom line of the company, which overall should be, if it's done right, a benefit to me. So those are the scenarios that, you know, when change comes, it's different, because you're used to just coming in and going and doing your thing, and, you know, you're a person of integrity, and you know that, you know, you come in, you leave, you do what you're supposed to do, you meet all your deadlines, and you know it's not a problem. But you know, and I know, that there's some folk that don't do that, and it might not just be noticed on, you know, 10 or 15 people, but if you have a company has, you know, 1,500 people, 2,000 people, you know, and 10% of the people are you know, not being productive 10% of the time, that stuff adds up. It adds up, and it affects the bottom line, which affects your benefits, which affects you in a negative way. But if you can cut that waste out, then you can begin to start benefit overall. And so that's a way of looking at time. This is just an example of, you know, a biometric clock. And I've been in companies that have installed that, and it is something that initially that changes people resist. Ooh, they get upset, they get mad, they get to the point where they initially are just ardent to resist it. Their whole personality, their faces, their countenance, their understanding, that it just is not what they want, and it takes them out of their comfort zone. It takes them out of their routine, that they do things the way they've been doing it for the last 10, 15 years, and they don't like it. And some people will leave. Some people will seek employment other places. But what happens is, with change that you can embrace, you have to be able to look at the whole big picture and not just be so self-centered. See, a lot of times when you look at a change that takes you out of your creature comfort, that takes you out of your routine, what happens is people become self-centered, and their self-centeredness doesn't look at the benefit of the whole that will eventually bring benefit to yourself. And so that's one of the things that you have to do as far as changes you can embrace, and to see if it's necessary. And then is it overall going to benefit me in the long run? Is it going to make a positive change over the situation? So that's what we're talking about tonight. If you want to be a part of the conversation, we invite you to call in 347-324-5569. It's 347-324-5569. And we're going to take about a 2-minute break, and we're going to be right back. So hold on through the break, and we're going to talk some more about change. Can we live with change, always live with it? And we'll be right back.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you.
That is change that you can embrace, and that's change that you can tolerate. But there are certain changes that you cannot embrace and you cannot tolerate. And what you have to do is you have to be willing to have enough vision like you would have to see the overall benefit of having to tolerate winter, the overall vision of having to tolerate the biometric clock that helps the bottom line, that eventually helps the company be more efficient, eventually helps to increase benefits for you know, the employees of the company. Those type of things you can embrace, those type of things you can tolerate. But there's change that's being proposed that you just can't tolerate. You have to get to the point where you say this change is something that is not going to benefit the overall good. This is a change that's not going to benefit the process, and you have to be able to intelligently make your case, intelligently disapprove in a way that would be made so plain that the change that is proposed will eventually have to not be enforced. Or if it had been forced to roll it back, one of the things that came up in our news cycle this week was that Voting Rights Act was trying to be changed in order to allow several of the states that were under the Voting Rights Acts that had them to be scrutinized when they were making changes in the way people were able to vote. Voting Rights Act was put in place because there was a process that was being used prior to the Voting Rights Act that was hindering people from voting. And so, you know, there was a change that was made that allowed the law to be put into place where people would be able to vote without that hindrance. And that hindrance, if it was trying to be applied, would have to be scrutinized by the Justice Department and would be deemed necessary to eliminate those changes that would cause people not to be able to vote. And you know, that's the type of change that can be embraced because ultimately everyone voting in the United States, for instance, is better for the country and overall. But if there are changes put in place to prevent parts of our the people that make up our country from voting, then that doesn't benefit, that's not benefiting, it doesn't do our country the good that it deserves. It does a disservice by disfranchising people from being able to vote. And that's a change that, you know, you can't embrace, it's a change you can't tolerate. That's a change that you have to stand up against intelligently. You have to continue to bring it to the authorities, say that this type of change and voting rights to cause people to be disenfranchised is not beneficial in the long run or short term for our country. And that was one of the subjects as this was brought before our Supreme Court of the United States this week, and one of the justices participating in the arguments, the dialogue, stated that the country has changed since that period of time, the civil rights, 64, 65, you know, through the 70s. Things have changed. And you know, my take on it is that things have changed for the better as far as people being able to register their vote because of the change in the law, which was caused by the Voting Rights Act. And so when you get to that type of change, that's change that can be embraced. Our whole country can embrace that we understand our country is diverse, made up of many people, different backgrounds, different nationalities, different come from different places, and that makes up our country. People will come to the country by whatever means, and have become citizens. And if you're an American citizen, then you should have the right to vote. And yes, things have changed since the 60s and the 70s, but those changes have been made for the better because practices that would have prevented people from voting have been brought to light, and a bill has the Voting Act law has been put into place to prevent people from being disenfranchised, prevent certain states that were practicing this from practicing it anymore. So that was a change that could be embraced. That was a change that could not be tolerated. And so it's interesting the questions that go on in the Supreme Court and the oral arguments and the back and forth. But there are some things that, you know, our highest court, you really have to see, and you really have to listen to what they say to see if they're making these arguments to sway opinion one way or another. And, you know, that's the way the Supreme Court, they have this banter that they go back and forth. And sometimes you think they might be arguing to go one way or another, but in fact they're arguing, or they're discussing, or they're participating in dialogue actually to bring another point out to show or highlight another point. And so this type of banter or this type of argument or this type of dialogue oftentimes is taking to change someone's way of thinking to another way of thinking. And you just have to be careful. You can't prejudge. You can't get a opinion as they dialogue. But you know, some of the stuff was shocking that they were saying. But you have to, again, present your points. You have to intelligently argue your point, and you have to let people know that there's certain change that can be embraced is for the benefit or the better good of everyone. And so that Voting Rights Act law was and is for the benefit of the greater amount of people, that it prevents disenfranchisement of people who are citizens of America, of the United States of America, and should have and do have the right to vote. And I know there's a group of states, particularly in the South, that do not like this, but because of the law that was, you know, put in place in the 60s, many of people were not disenfranchised during this last cycle, election, presidential election cycle, because of this Voter Right Act that was put into law, that was put into place. And so that was a change, and that change was something that we can embrace. It was a change that we can tolerate. And so now the argument is being brought that things have changed, and so those restrictions don't need to be in place anymore. And so that's the argument. But anything that's going to cause people to be under a system where now there can be an opportunity for them to be disenfranchised because the law that prevented them from being disenfranchised is being changed. That type of change, it just can't be tolerated. You can't do that. It's something that you have to stand up for. It's something you have to argue intelligently. It's something that you have to speak out against. It's something that has to be brought to the forefront in front of the whole country to say that to change this back to where people can't be protected just doesn't make sense. And it's something that cannot be tolerated. Again, one of the justices said that the country has changed. And yes, it has changed tremendously. And it's changed for the good. And because it's changed for the good, we should embrace that change. And we should definitely make sure that we continue to embrace changes that we can live with and that's moving us forward by looking at the broader picture, by looking at the bigger picture. And when you see that as far as people voting, if you're an American citizen, you have the right to vote, and you should not have anything that would hinder you from voting. And the more people that vote is what our country should be about, that everyone has a fair say. I know as a country, we like to promote democracy around the entire globe. And we say one person, one vote. And democracy, even though it's not perfect, is the best way to govern or governance in a civilized country, a civilized society, where everyone has a say and it's not just the elite few who will dictate to those that might not have the resources to come up against the elite and the powerful. And so, you know, that's the message that we're broadcasting around the world. That I think that it's only right or commonplace that we should make sure that in our own country, in our own backyard, that we are promoting the right for people to vote. So it doesn't matter if you have $20 billion or you have 20 pennies, that if you're an American citizen, you should be able to cast your vote without being hindered or having to go through undue process to cast your vote. And so that's a change that we just can't embrace. That's a change that we can't tolerate, and it's a change that we have to come against. And I don't know if you're, whatever your background is, whether you come from Ireland, or whether you come from Germany, whether you come from Africa or wherever, and you are nationalized and you become an American citizen. If you come from South America or wherever, and you're born in this country, or you nationalized, you know, and then you made yourself a United States citizen, whether you were born here or whatever, if you're an American citizen, you should have the right to cast your vote on Election Day without this gerrymandering of the process for people who, for their own selfish gain, want to make it difficult for people to be able to win an election that they can't win because they don't have the numbers because of their messaging or their message is not popular with the majority of the voters. And so that's the type of change that we can't tolerate. And so that's what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about can change always be embraced? Can change always be embraced? All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be right back. Again, if you want to be part of this conversation, we ask you to dial at 347-324-5569. That's 347-324-5569, and we'll be right back.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And he loves you.
Tonight, as always, we'd like to thank all of our very fine listeners who continue to support us here at Pastors Aid CDC. We are just tremendously blessed, and we thank everyone for all your support. Tonight, we're talking about change. Can it always be embraced? And again, we have a few more minutes. We want to invite you, if you desire to, give us a call at 347-324-5569. We've been talking about a change that you can embrace, how you have to understand how it's better for the bottom line as far as possibly a biometric clock in corporate America, one of corporate America businesses where eventually because the company operates more efficiently because people are held accountable as far as their time, that, you know, that can be embraced because eventually the bottom line will create better benefits for people of that company, and also change that you can embrace by or tolerate because it's necessary for, you know, since our ecological cycle of our earth as far as the winter coming and having to deal with the cold spell for, you know, roughly 3 months or so because of the way the planet operates, that, you know, that's a change that we can tolerate. So there's change you can embrace, change you can tolerate, a change that's necessary. And then we were talking about change that we could not tolerate, we could not embrace because that it's not beneficial to anyone. And that was the change of possibly overturning the Voting Rights Act, part of the Voting Rights Act that would allow the states that were identified during the initial passing of the law that changes in voter rights, the way states handle their voting, could not go through unless it was oversaw. The Justice Department had to approve. It had to be approved to be able to be changed, and said that law, that change, was beneficial to those who were being disenfranchised about their vote. And that's not good for our country. That's not good for our people. And so that change was good. That change could be embraced. That change was something that is beneficial to all of our citizens. Like I said, whether you immigrated from wherever you've immigrated, wherever you come, and you become a lawful citizen that has the right to vote, that that's democracy at its best. And that for those who would like to go back to people possibly being able to be disenfranchised because changes can be made, is not beneficial to our country and should not and cannot be tolerated. And so, you know, we were talking about the oral arguments, the oral arguments that our Supreme Court justices have been making in regards to this, and just some of the comments that they, you know, go back and forth. You know, they're not always meant to show their hand or what they're thinking, but a lot of times they're speaking out loud and trying to sway a change in people's way people are thinking. But some of the conversation is really interesting. If you get a chance, go back and listen to some of the arguments that were made or some of the comments were made during the argument of whether the act should be amended or should be changed or should be overthrown. And then we said that, you know, it cannot be tolerated for people to go back to a place where they could possibly be disenfranchised. It just doesn't make sense. And it can't be tolerated, and it's not something that is beneficial to a country, a democracy, a great democracy that has come so far in these United States of America. And, you know, people say, well, you know, if it goes to the Supreme Court and the Supreme Court, you know, overturns it, you know, what else can be done? Or Supreme Court changes, I think it was I believe it was Section 5. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it can get to a point where if that's changed, you say, well, what can be done? Well, what would happen during this election cycle is what will be done, is that as much as was done to cause people to have difficulties to vote, that inspired, that encouraged, that gave people more of a determination to do whatever they needed to do to vote in spite of the opposition that was put in their way. And so the more people try to make changes that cannot be tolerated, what that does is that inspires the people, that charges the people, that gets people in a frame of mind that says, you know, I waited in line for, you know, 4 hours or 6 hours or 8 hours, but I cast my vote. I had to change the way that I voted on Sunday because laws were put in place that I couldn't vote on Sunday. I had to fill out some extra paperwork, or I had to do my absentee ballot in a different way. But, you know, when people make these type of changes, when people make these type of hindrances, what it does is opposite of what people think it's going to do, because it's not going to stop someone who understands the struggle, who understands what it took to get this far to be able to vote. And so that change that cannot be tolerated will be overcome by the will of the people. And the will of the people will stand in line for 12 hours. The will of the people will eventually, through the democratic process, promote those people out who make changes that cannot be tolerated. And it might take, you know, 5 years, might take 10 years, but eventually Supreme Court justices don't stay on the court forever. Presidents don't stay forever. Congressmen and women don't stay forever. And the will of the people will be done. And, you know, that change that cannot be tolerated will be overthrown. And we saw it during this last election cycle. People stood in line all day. People set chairs. People cast absentee ballots different way. People learned how to not have to come from church and get on the church bus and go vote. They found other ways to vote because it's change that cannot be tolerated. And so, you know, change that cannot be tolerated, people intelligently come up against it, and the will of the people overcomes that type of change. And then they change it to a way that can be embraced, a way that can be tolerated, because that is the way that people who really have concern for doing the right thing and having the right things happen, just like in corporate America, just like in our ecological system. People have the best interests of the whole and heart, then they will make the right decision. It might take a little bit of time. There's some things that can be embraced. There's some things that can be tolerated. There's some change that can be tolerated. And then there's some change that cannot be tolerated. And it plays out every day all over this world. It plays out every day in our country. And it will continue to play out. So, you know, keep an eye on that Supreme Court. Keep an eye on corporate America. Keep an eye on our ecological system. Look at it. Learn about change that can be embraced, change that can be tolerated, and change that cannot be tolerated. Play your role. Play your part. And when you play your role, play your part, you will see change for the good, change for the better, and things that have been changed that cannot be tolerated, you will see them overthrown. You will see the will of the people that will bring about a change. And we just need to continue to learn to love each other, learn to have a type of vision that will say, let's do what's best, let's do what's right, and that will bring about change that can be embraced. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. I know it was a little change in tone, but a lot of times you have to have a dialogue with a different change in tone to be able to get people to just kind of express and share and let that dialogue be taking place so they can think about things, how they're going to handle it as far as with corporate America, how they're going to handle it with the ecological system, how they're going to handle it with stuff that, you know, things that just, you know, you can't be tolerated. And so there's always going to be change. Like I said, look in the mirror 10 years from now. We're changing all the time. But there's some things that just cannot be tolerated, and we have to come up against. We'll continue to pray, continue to look for positive change, continue to look for self-evaluation that will bring about a good change. All of those things are very important that we participate in as far as change we can embrace, change we can tolerate, and change that we cannot tolerate. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. Hope you enjoyed the show. Tell somebody about it. Hopefully this will prompt a conversation and dialogue in your community and be for the better to bring wellness to your community. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. And now that you have the resource, we want you to get connected. Good night, and prayerfully we'll talk to you again on Sunday night. Good night.